Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. February, as you know, is Black History Month. And in respect to that, each February installment of the weekly program, Midwest Beat, will be part of a month-long series with guest co-hosts, live performers, as we shine a spotlight on the evolution of black music in America, progressing from early spirituals to bass slap and funk. Well, tonight, we've got some very special guests in the house. Willie Rogers is here. We've got Billy Shelton with us, Patrick Petrie, Pernell Davis, and Gene Stewart. We'll be telling you a little bit about their history as we shine a spotlight on spirituals, gospels, and taking you right on into doo-wop. So stay with us. It's a great show. Part one of the Black History Month salute starts next. Midwest Beat with Tom Lounges is made possible by Maryville's Broadway Glass and Customs with banner printing and truck wrapping services to promote your business. More info at 219-88-GLASS or BroadwayGlass.net. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. As I mentioned earlier, February is Black History Month, and in respect to that, each and every February installment of Midwest Beats will be a salute to the evolution of black music in America. Starting tonight with early spirituals, we'll progress into gospel and wrap things up tonight with doo-wop. On other shows, we'll be covering blues, jazz, Motown, and funk. Well, tonight, as we get into the early days of black music in America, we're going to have some great guests with us, and they're going to have some firsthand accounts of what it was like to grow up in the America of yesterday, during a time when, well, things were a little bit different. We've got Willie Rogers with us tonight and Gene Stewart of the Soulsters. We've got my old friend Billy Shelton of the Spaniels. Also with us, Pernell Davis is going to be adding vocals and guitar. And Patrick Petrie, who is also a member of the Spaniels. And a lot of these guys have been with us before. Pernell, this is his first visit with us. And we're going to start things off by explaining a little bit about the music that we'll be talking about. Negro spirituals, as they were known back in the day, started out of the situation with the slavery issues in America. They gave birth to gospel music. And a guy named Thomas A. Dorsey, not to be confused with the big band leader, Thomas A. Dorsey out of Chicago is known as the father of gospel. And we're going to learn the differences between a spiritual and a gospel song. And we're going to realize the fact that a lot of that started right here, just a stone's throw away from our studio in Chicago. Let's start things off with Billy Shelton and Willie Rogers. You guys have been part of the gospel music scene in Chicago and Northwest Indiana and, well, the world for eons now. You've both been around for a long time singing spirituals, singing gospels. Who would like to start and explain what the differences are? And let's talk about the roots of the spirituals and how they kept black people positive during some very tough times.
Well, I'd like to start, Tom. And Willie and I are so old that we were actually around when it started. That's the unique thing right there. Willie was with the Soulsters, mm-hmm. who incorporated themselves with Thomas A. Dorsey because they started something that had never been done before. They left the Negro spirituals, mm-hmm. and they adapted it to gospel. And Thomas A. Dorsey was so close to the Soulsters, every time he would write a song, they would be the first ones to record it. So it's fitting that we have a couple of the Soulsters on this program, Willie Rogers and Gene Stewart, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's how the whole thing started.
What is the difference between a spiritual and a gospel song? And Billy, you were telling me off air, mm-hmm. it's something about the first person and incorporating yourself into
right.
it. Is that correct?
During slavery, the African people, the African nation, the only thing that kept them going was their music, their chants. So they brought their chants from Africa, and when they would be performing, working, they would sing mm-hmm. to keep in rhythm with the work. Because if they slowed down any, the whip was going to be on their backs. So they literally had to sing to stay alive. And a lot of the Negro spirituals songs were written under the whip. They were written in blood. And later on, when they adapted the music to gospel, they personalized the sufferings, because before, when it was the spirituals, Lord, help us, deliver us.
It was a collective.
Nation. Right.
Okay.
But when Thomas A. Dorsey came along, they called him Georgia Tom, incidentally, because he was blues. He was B.B. King in reverse.
Oh, okay.
He started off doing the blues and ended up doing the gospel. And so I had the honor of living next door to him in Chicago. And every birthday, I was a little kid, they'd get me to sing on his birthdays, you know, some of his songs. So I'm really tied in close with that. And Willie Rogers is so much a part of the American music history, because he has seen all the great groups. He's had to sing against the top groups and everything like that. And I'm sure Willie's got something to say about that, too.
Well, yes, as a young black man growing up in this country, the music was something that was born out of the soul. Mm-hmm. It was created out of the spirit. We created that black quartet years ago when I first came to Chicago from Virginia. With the label on BJ, with the Highway QCs.
Right.
And what we did, the Black Quartet was this. We traveled up and down the highway as young men from Mississippi. Can you imagine going through Mississippi and Alabama and late at night and everything, singing our music? And that time, we couldn't stay in no hotels. Didn't have no hotels for no. We had to ride all night long from city to city, sleeping in cars, five or six guys. But we were dedicated to the music. And when we would go to different cities, like Alabama at the Auditorium, the music was like, at that particular time, it was an art form where all the people would show up, like on the Auditorium. It was something to celebrate, to see a group come into their cities, 5,000 and 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. Come to see us, you know, perform. I was the Highway QCs at that
of
time.
Of all races?
Of all. At that time, no.
No?
No, no. It was most of the audience was black.
Okay. So that, we hadn't gotten to the point where we
rolled
down the aisle yet.
No, we haven't gotten to that point. At that time.
And that was progress for a while.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
And what happened, and doing this type of music, we had a feeling we called the Holy Spirit. We moved when we started singing. And man, it's something about the gospel music. When you started singing it, it get all in your soul. And if you watch some of the quartets, the black quartets, we started clapping our hands and patting our feet, and the people would react to it.
Power.
Power, joy. In other words, to release some of that tension that we were going through. And like Billy, he went deeper when he was talking about we used to use that music, send signal across the field. We were saying, like, steal away, and I'm going back, I'm going back.
Right.
That was a signal to let the monster couldn't understand what steal away meant. But it was a language that we were sending, steal away. See? We were talking to each other across the field.
Right.
So you communicated through song.
Yeah, we were communicating.
And the slave masters had no idea what you were doing.
No.
Right.
I never heard that before.
Had this, Nat Turner Rebellion thing where the slave actually physically took over the plantation by killing all of the slave owners. They didn't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept the Africans from communicating with each other in fear
of an uprising.
Rebellion, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the funny thing I think about this story, the slave masters did not want any kind of communication between the slaves, you'd get the whip on your back.
That's right, that's right.
But the slave masters loved to hear the slaves sing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And yeah, so what they did is they thought about it, said, if we can communicate through song, mm-hmm. then we got it. And like if there was a meeting on the old campground, they wanted to get together, they'd do something like this. One of them would start the song. Meeting tonight, meeting tonight, meeting on the old campground. Well, there's a meeting tonight, meeting tonight, meeting on the old campground. And do you know, the slave master would say, by God, sing that song. He didn't know what was going on.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. Wow. Awesome. I love hearing you guys sing. Let's do a full song. What would you like to sing? Well, let's do something. Would it be spiritual? Would it be a gospel?
Let's do this. We got the world's greatest gospel singer right with us.
Willie Rogers.
And we were just talking about the difference in gospel music. And the last thing Sam did.
Sam Cooke.
Yeah, he wrote a song with the spiritual thing, you know, the change it will come, you know. And the funny thing about that, he was killed before he got a chance to ever perform the song live. He recorded. Willie was the first one to sing that song. Yeah. To my knowledge, isn't that right, Willie? Yeah. So maybe we could do just a little of that for you.
Okay. And which is this?
This is A Change Is Gonna Come, written by Sam Cooke and performed by Willie Rogers.
All right.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know my change gonna come. If I hang on in there, it's been too hard living. But I'm afraid to die. Oh, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond them skies. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Fellas, oh yes it will. Said I go to my brother, and I said, brother, help me please. But then he winds up, Billy, knocking me back down. I couldn't last for long, but today I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know my change. I know my change will come.
All right.
Amazing. Right. This reminds me, and Billy and Willie, we talked when we went out to dinner a couple weeks back, that I started in radio doing black gospel. And I had no idea what gospel music was or any of the history. And I learned it firsthand by a minister that I was engineering for, Reverend Harold Patton. And he opened my eyes to Reverend James Cleveland, Mighty Cloud Is Joy, yeah. You know, the Soul Stirrers, all these wonderful groups. And you can feel the music in a way that you don't feel other musics.
Yes. It brings to mind, throughout the turmoils of slavery and everything, how the black nation looked to God for strength. And it was a prayer later released in a song by the great Dixie Hummingbirds. I've been in the storm too long. I'd like for you to hear a little.
Okay, let's do a little of that.
Been in the storm too long.
My Lord, I've
been in the storm too long.
Oh, my
Lord, give me time to pray. Been in the storm too long. I've been in the storm too long.
My brother, I've
been in the storm too long. Lord, give me time to pray. Been in the storm too long.
Oh, well, I've wandered far.
Storm too long.
You know the faith of me.
Been in the storm too long.
Lord,
been in the storm too long.
My brother, I've
been in the storm. Storm too long.
Oh, I now reveal eternity.
Lord, I've been in the storm too long.
Lord,
I've been in the storm too long.
My brother, I've
been in the storm. Lord, give me time to pray.
I've
been in the storm.
Beautiful high vocals there, courtesy of Patrick Petrie. Wow, you guys just something else. You'd think you'd sing for a living.
Don't tell him. He might believe it.
I wouldn't have said this a year ago because I thought it would be being conceited or something. Mm-hmm. But we've got the best voices in Northwest Indiana right here in the studio. Every one of these guys are outstanding lead singers. You've got Hall of Famers in here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us got together and we're blending our voices.
We've got Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. We've got Vocal Group Hall of Famers. Right. I mean, right. You guys are all across the board recognized nationwide and internationally. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's an honor to have all of you here. I've met all of you in the past, except I've not met Purnell formally. So, Purnell, tell us a little about
yourself.
Lucky
for you, huh?
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I started actually playing guitar and singing, actually singing and playing. In church when I was like 7 years old with my father's gospel group.
You from Northwest Indiana area?
I'm actually from Aurora, Illinois.
Okay, close enough.
Yeah, but close enough, yeah. My father and him used to come to this area all the time. Back when I was too young to even knew what a guitar was, I just wanted to go. I was always around the guitar. I used to get in trouble all the time as a kid for messing with his guitars all the time. You know, I was. So he said he bought me a plastic guitar. I never will forget the story my dad told me. He said he came home, it was a plastic guitar, and I was playing the guitar. It was just like one string, man. It was just, well, he said he was just playing on that one string, and then they decided to buy me a guitar, you know, and I, you know, it started back when I was 7 years old, so I'm 53 now, so you do the math. I've been around for a while there.
Okay. I know you performed with Billy in the Forever group. You did some recordings with him. We've also got two members of the Spaniels, two members of the Soul Stirrers, and are you with any of the other groups?
I played with the Spaniels.
You played with the Spaniels.
He was
well.
The band leader for the years. Spaniels
okay.
for a while.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he played with the Staples Singers, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I actually remember Pop Staples telling me one time when, this is when I first, I don't know if you call it an audition, but, you know, joining the group, you know, and we were playing some blues. It's like a regular blues riff. And he stopped the band and, you know, he told me to take my solo on. I stepped on all my pedals, right? And he stopped. He said, all right, you can't play the blues, can you? That sent me for a loop, so I had to do my homework.
Man. Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
We're amazing too, Tom.
True story.
We learned how to blend.
In the churches and on the street corners and things. We didn't have the luxury of going to music school. We could, you know, but like these guys, we met up, started harmonizing Billy. You know, he's a teacher. He teaches different voices and things. That's how we learned how to sing. You know, we didn't go to the classroom. I mean, I've been on Broadway with Morgan Freeman. And I mean, all the time. But anyway, it was a gift from God. We learned the harmony and we can blend. Yeah. But you got to rehearse it, though. You can't just do.
Right.
But it is amazing.
I understand that Billy's pretty tough on the rehearsal.
Billy, yeah, he's tough. He's tough.
Little Bird told me that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad he left his whip at home.
Makes
but,
you better.
You know, something. I was blessed to be next door to Thomas A. Dorsey. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I wanted all my life when I grew up, I used to listen to the Soul Stirrers. Every time their new records, all the kids in the block, the gangs, everybody. This was before rhythm and blues and doo-wop. Mm-hmm. And everybody started singing the Soul Stirrers song. At that time, they had a young man who came off of his farm, his father's farm when he was 17, and he could sing like a bird. And he popularized all this high falsetto singing like Smokey Robinson and Eddie Kendricks and all that. His name was Rebert Harris, and he was the father of the gospel singers because his style later became the epitome of rock and roll because Sam Cooke, this was his favorite singer. Mm-hmm. When he was a kid, he never missed the Soul Stirrers and listened to Rebert. And I got a chance to not only meet Rebert, but to sing with his group and everything. And I learned the song that they sang, Don't Miss the Train. And I like that because it goes into so many different chords and everything. Mm-hmm. I wonder, do you have time? Could we do that for you?
Well, we've got about 30 minutes left. We still have to touch on doo-wop.
Right.
And it's up to you.
Okay.
We can do a short version. And you still wanted to do Joshua, too, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we got to get to that, too. All right.
That's right.
Let's pick something, and then we'll move on.
Well,
and we'll talk about
another
the
vocal one groups. When... Harry Tubman came along with the Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it did involve the railroad in this respect. A lot of the slaves were smuggled on the trains, the baggage cars, and they'd slip on the train. And
when you say smuggled, you mean to freedom?
To freedom.
Right.
To Canada, wherever they could go. And so the word was, don't forget about that train to be here, you know. So they wrote this song, Don't Miss the Train.
Okay.
And we're going to do a little of that.
Okay, do a little of that right now.
One verse, yeah.
All aboard.
Don't miss that train. Don't miss that train. Don't miss that train. The people keep coming, but the train ain't gone. Brother, don't miss that train. Don't miss that train. Don't miss that train. The people keep it coming, but the train ain't gone.
Brother, now don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss the train. Oh, sister, now
don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss the train. Well, I would not be a liar. I'll tell you the reason why.
Don't you miss it.
I'm afraid my Lord might call me, and I wouldn't be ready to die.
That train, don't miss that train.
The people keep it coming, but the train ain't gone. My brother, don't miss that train.
Don't miss that train. Don't miss that train.
The people keep coming, but the train ain't gone.
Brother, now
don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss the train.
Oh, sister, now
don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss the train. Oh, well, you better be ready when he calls your name. Don't be late, cause you might miss that train. So don't you miss it.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Don't miss that train. Woo, woo.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, this train ain't pulling out for a while yet. We still got some time. We promised to get to some doo-wop, and we're going to touch a little bit on some of the in-between vocal groups like the Ink Spots, the Traineers, the Mills Brothers.
Right.
We're going to touch a little bit on that, and then we're going to move right on into the doo-wop, which is the early days of rock and roll. But first, let's remind everybody that you guys are going to be performing on the 21st,
right,
the church service,
right.
And you'll be at the Marquette Park United Methodist Church.
Yes.
And this is open to the public,
yes.
So if you want to hear a lot more of this great singing from the soul, from the spirit, it's at 10:15 is the service. And again, that's Sunday, February 21st,
yes.
The 215 North Grand Boulevard in the Marquette Park area of Gary.
Right.
I'm excited.
Tom, I hope,
we're
hope
coming.
You can, good.
The roof may fall in, but I will be there.
30 a.m.
We'll give you that date in church again in just a moment if you want to get a piece of paper and write that down. But let's close out the gospel and spiritual side with a little Joshua.
This was the Golden Gate Quartet. They started a lot of the Jubilee type singing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it became so great that a group called the Norfleet Brothers, who were stationed in Chicago.
There's a lot of Chicago connections,
right,
isn't there?
Right. They were on the largest TV channel, Channel 7, in Chicago. And this went like 24 years on national TV, where they just did gospel. It's called Jubilee Showcase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Willie, I've got a video of Willie. He's a young little kid out there with the soul stirrers. And
back when I was a baby. I was a baby back then.
Oh, yes, I was, man. At that time, Tom, I had hair there. Anyway, it was exciting, man. It was, in fact, it went national.
Right.
And it was a group then that was on the Emotion.
Yeah, they were called the Heavenly Sunbeams.
At that time, yeah.
Later on, they became the Emotions and
all
the
right.
Best of My Love.
Yeah, I remember
but
that
they,
at all.
They made their bones on Jubilee Showcase. You know, that was fantastic.
Didn't Denise Williams as well?
Denise Williams, no, she came later, and she was lucky enough to hook up with Johnny Mathis. So Johnny Mathis.
Because I know she had to start in the church, too.
I would say 99% of any black entertainers
had to start in the church. All right. On songs like the one we're going to hear.
All right. Okay. Part of our great American heritage would be the songs of our forefathers. Oh yes, the old spirituals. Now if you read your Bible, you'll find that in the days of Joshua, there was a great battle fought around the city of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls come tumbling down.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
around Jericho, around Jericho.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
God knows that.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
around
Jericho,
around
Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Stop and talk to you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua. He was the son of Nun. They said he'll never stop his work until his work is done.
God knows that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
around Jericho,
around Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling. God knows that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
You can talk about the man from Gideon, you can brag about the man from Saul. Ain't nothing like good old Joshua and the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow them a ramp, Joshua cried for the battle lamb in my hand.
God knows that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
around Jericho,
around Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling.
God knows that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
Jericho,
around
Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come, Billy.
Well, you can talk about the man from Gideon, you can brag about the man from Saul. They ain't nothing like the Joshua and the battle of Jericho. They tell me, great God, that Joshua's spear was well nigh 12 foot long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, in his mouth was a gospel horn. Yet bold and brave he stood, salvation in his arms. Go blow them a ram horn, Joshua cried, cause the devil can't do you no harm. Then the ram lamb sheep horn began to blow, trumpet began to sound. Joshua shouted, glory, and the walls come tumbling down.
God knows that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
around Jericho,
around Jericho.
50 battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. God knows that Joshua 50 battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua 50 battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling
down, down,
down, down.
Now that is great radio, and of course this is historic. We've got Hall of Famers in here, the Spaniels, the Soul Stirrers, a combination of both, and this is just a wonderful radio show. And we're going to continue this talking about doo-wop groups, but I want to remind everybody that if you like what you're hearing tonight musically, you can hear this live at Marquette Park United Methodist Church on Sunday, February 21st. It's a 10:15 service, and you can find the church at 215 North Grand Boulevard. That's Marquette Park United Methodist on Sunday, Sunday, February 21st. We're going to continue through the month as we celebrate Black History Month here on Midwest Beat. We've got a blues show, of course. Purnell, I believe you're coming back next week, correct? Along with Billy Shelton, the co-host.
My pleasure.
Bring that guitar with you, because we're going to be playing some blues. And we've also got a special call-in with Joe Louis Walker, an international bluesman, who will be joining us for a short part of that show. We've got jazz coming up on the 16th, and then we're going to take it Motown to funk with Say Yes and Cheryl Youngblood.
All right.
Billy's going to be here for that one as well, co-hosting. Well, let's talk about the progress now. We've talked about spirituals led to gospel, and how spirituals led us to the 50s, to the doo-wop sound. And in between that, there was the vocal groups like the Mills Brothers and the Traineers and the Ink Spots. Let's talk a little bit about the impact they had, and then let's drop it right on into doo-wop.
The Mills Brothers, to my knowledge, was the first commercial group who traveled around the world and recorded everything. I don't know of any group before the Mills Brothers. And the Mills Brothers were so great that they went through Europe on tour, and nobody was in a hurry to get back to the United States then, because the black people were catching it here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the Ink Spots, when they were working in Vegas, they would have to change their clothes in the men's room. They'd have white tuxedos to put on. They had to stand in the men's room and maneuver around because they would not let them in the dressing room in Vegas.
Yes,
no
yes.
Blacks were allowed. So a lot of stuff happened that you never knew about back then.
And they were huge then. They were big stars.
They were the greatest.
Yeah.
The Mills brothers themselves, they said, Donald Mills said that they had gone through Europe, and as soon as they came back to the United States, they found that the Ink Spots had taken over.
Mm-hmm.
They captivated the United States with the beautiful falsetto of Bill Kenny and the Orville Jones, the bass singer, Hoppy, you know, and all that, and the guitar. They had a separate club style that's going on right now. And groups like the Platters pattern themselves after the Ink Spots.
Ink Spots. Okay.
Buck Ram arranged for both groups.
Yes,
and
yes.
A lot of the same songs, like My Prayer, for instance, it was a million seller with the Ink Spots.
Mm-hmm.
Then Buck Ram created the Platters, and they did the same song, and it sold another million. And then the Ray Goodman and Brown.
Oh, wow.
Billy Brown did the lead on that, sold another million, you know.
In other words, yes. Yeah. The Black Experience group, we influenced America. And in other words, we influenced the world, you know, with our sound before our white brothers, came along years from, you know, later.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to sing with that beat and everything. But we influenced the whole world with our music. Because, Tom, when we go to Europe, man, we have so many, like 100,000 of people and all this kind of stuff. They love our sounds, you know. But it still haven't caught on in this country.
Right.
Like that. Like
well, they always say you can't play in your own hometown. Right. And basically, it's the same story in the country, too, right. then.
Yeah, yeah.
You can be superstars around the world. You come home, and they're like, who are you?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Look at the guy down the street. I remember you.
But now it's catching on, and it's right. good. It's good, too. I had a, you know, like the song I sung a while ago, Change Gonna Come. The same song I done for Martin Luther King, you know, back years ago. And I had a privilege to sing this song for the black president, Barack Obama, the same change right. going to come. All right. All that,
you're on YouTube doing that. You know.
So you're on YouTube doing that. All right, yeah. We'll have to Google that.
Yes, yes. And, you know, what happened about music, it's such a joy. All of the trials and tribulation that we've been through, it don't shake you. You know, mm-hmm. you can sing a song, man, and it calls you to go through all your trials and tribulation, mm-hmm. What we did. And the way we travel, man, we would sit in the car, six guys in a little car, man, but we were singing and harmonizing and feeling good about each other. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And it kept going. And today, now it's big. I mean, you know what it is today, Tom, you know. But the thing was, it's a language which you can't really, it come from God, period. You know, mm-hmm. believe in things such as a God, which I do, because it give you something deep in your heart, you know. And now you got all the groups like the Temps and all them other kind of guys, all mm-hmm. of my brothers and sisters and everybody now. But now, I love, you know, you got to build it because you get me talking about it. You know? And when I, you know, it's something about when you started talking about some of your experiences and things that you've been through and you survive it and you came, today you see the young guys, you know, to keep it going. It's a pleasure, you know.
And it started after the spirituals and the gospels. It went over to secular, and we had the Platters and groups like the Spaniels and the Dells. Let's touch a little on doo-wop. We've got about 10 minutes left. I want to make sure you guys get to do a classic doo-wop song of your choice. Let's talk a little about the progress, how the doo-wop sound affected America.
Tom, when doo-wop music started, I kind of looked down my nose at doo-wop because I grew up in the era of the Mills Brothers and mm-hmm. the Ink Spots, where music had a certain standard. You had to be right in the middle of a note. The breathing had to be right and all of that. Nat King Cole, people like that who came.
Johnny Mercer?
Johnny Mercer, okay. My friend, because he was one of the greatest.
Right.
I didn't know you knew about
Johnny.
Oh,
I know
Mercer.
Everything.
The great Johnny Mercer, and you know, he fell in love with Judy Garland. They were real tight.
That I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. They were tight. That was the love of his life. And Johnny Mercer, his family goes way back to George Washington, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Came from a great family. But going back to the doo-wop music, I would say that the first rhythm and blues groups to come out was Sonny Till and the Oreos, mm-hmm. you know, groups like that, groups like the Clovers, and they, what they did, they almost did to pop music what the spirituals, you know, they went from what Thomas A. Dorsey did, they personalized,
mm-hmm.
they made it more of a street personal thing. And they were singing from their hearts. They made a lot of mistakes musically, because you listen to some of that stuff and say, oh, wow, this guy's singing off key and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the songs are classics mm-hmm. because it was music of the streets, music of the times, music from the heart. And Sonny Till has helped the Platters, helped the Spaniels so much. Pookie and Gerald, especially the bass singer of the Spaniels, Sonny Till, recorded with him. Mm. Did you know Secret Love? They had an album together, and I begin to respect rhythm and blues the more I learned of it. I said, "Wow, you know," because it went straight to the heart. You know, it had that power.
Yes.
And the guys. During that time, this was the only time that black people could be considered as human beings when they were singing.
It's a shame, though. It's a shame.
So we all went to church, because in church we could put on a white shirt and a tie and a suit, and for a few minutes we could be Mr. So-and-so, Brother So-and-so. Mm-hmm. And you were respected by the... So for just that little time, they could be men. And that particular time in those days, Sunday, that's why I love the church we're going to be at on the 21st. It looks like the United Nations there. But Sundays used to be the most segregated time in the United States.
Because the white folks will go to their church, and the black folks will go to their church.
Right. And I'm so happy to see a church like the one that we'll be at. These people have they're like a family. And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Well, so, Billy, but yeah. Look what God did, though. Look what God did. From the slave house to the White House.
Right. Right. Good one, good one. God, very well put, Mr. Rogers.
God is an awesome God.
Rock and roll is actually a term that was coined out of rhythm and blues. And DJs like my hero, Alan Freed, dared to play what they called race music then and infected the country with great rhythm and blues and the beat. And we got the doo-wop bands that led into the early rockabilly, into the rock and roll. And we have today Rock and Roll Hall of Famers who started in the early days when they couldn't use the dressing rooms. And now they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we've got them here tonight in Northwest Indiana on our show. And thank you again for being here. This is just such a thrill. We've got some great doo-wop history in the room as well with the two members of the Spaniels and the music director from the Spaniels. Can we do a song, a doo-wop song? It doesn't have to be a Spaniels, whatever you want to do.
Love Potion. Love Potion.
Well, which one?
Love Potion.
Love Potion, okay.
I want Good Night, Sweet Home.
This particular song was first recorded by the Clovers.
Okay.
And later, the Coasters. Recorded. So Love Potion number 9 is a classic.
I took my troubles down to Baton Rouge. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a patent down on 34th and Vine. She makes little bottles of Love Potion number 9. I told her that I was a flopper with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at her palms and she gave a magic sign. She said, oh, what you need is Love Potion number 9.
What did she do, Pernell?
She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like Indian ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
I took a drink, oh.
I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. When I kissed his cop down on 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of Love Potion number 9. Love Potion number 9. Love Potion number 9. Love Potion number 9.
I love it. You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. You know, the fun part of this, and the radio audience can't see it, is I'm sitting here and you guys are all performing, and I've got Patrick and Gene just cracking each other up over having a great time while they're singing. The enjoyment that you guys have performing, it just comes through.
Oh, yes. When we're singing, heck yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes left. We are talking a little bit about the doo-wop days. And, of course, doo-wop led to R&B, the Motown sound, the Temptations, the Four Tops, the Spinners, the Shy Lights, on and on and on, the Philadelphia sound. All of that was rooted in doo-wop. And doo-wop started in many ways here in Chicago and Gary at the VJ Records label with the Spaniels. And Billy, I'm going to summarize real quick since we're tight on time. But if there hadn't been a Spaniels, there wouldn't have been a VJ Records.
Right.
Because VJ was formed to give a home for the Spaniels.
Right, right.
If there hadn't been a VJ Records, there wouldn't have been a Motown Records.
Right.
Because there's a whole history there of record company things. Of course, we'd have to dedicate a whole week to talk about that. But Motown went on, of course, to give us all these great groups. And and if it weren't for Motown, we wouldn't have half the rap bands today because they couldn't sample anything. So there we go. It all started with the Spaniels.
That's right. That's
in the streets of Gary, Indiana. Again, I want to remind everybody, if you love the spiritual and gospel stuff we were hearing tonight, and again, the roots of every music that we love, whether it's jazz or blues or R&B or rock and roll, it's all rooted in the gospel and the spirituals. Hear it live, and it's not going to cost you anything. Give a love offering. Help the church out. Marquette Park United Methodist on Sunday, February 21st. It's 10:15 in the morning. A little early for me, but hey, if I'm going to do it, you can do it too. At 215 North Grand Boulevard, Marquette Park area of Gary, Indiana. And we've got about 3 minutes left. Let's take it out with a song. And we'll be back next week. We'll have Billy Shelton with us. Pernell Davis will be with us. We'll have a special call-in from Joe Louis Walker. We're going to definitely have all you back again soon. Anytime you want to come by, feel free.
Thank you.
All right, let's play some music.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
I hate to leave you, but I really must say, oh,
good night, sweetheart. Good night. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
We hate to leave you, but we really must say, oh,
good night, sweetheart. Good night.
Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and baby, I just can't get right. I hate to leave you, baby. I don't mean maybe,
because I love you so. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
I hate to leave you, but I really must say, oh,
good night, sweetheart. Good night.
Wrap. We are out of here. Midwest Beat, I'm Tom Lounges. Black History Month continues. Next week, February 9th, Billy Shelton, Pernell will be back with us, and I hope you will too for the blues. Thank you. Midwest Beat with Tom Lounges is made possible by Merivale's Broadway Glass and Customs, with banner printing and truck wrapping services to promote your business. More info at 219-88-GLASS or broadwayglass.net.